Welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. Over the past 20 years, I've worked in beauty, luxury, corporate, and service-driven industries. I created the opportunity in these careers and in my own businesses that allowed me to travel the world, experience once-in-a-lifetime events, and build brands while providing my expertise to clients all around the globe. Life is short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. If you are ready to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, this is the show for you. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today. Tune in every week to hear from myself, other entrepreneurs, professional patients, small business owners, and fellow podcasters who will be featured on the show. I'm here to remind you to work hard, share your story, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today's episode starts now. Hello, hello, and welcome back to a brand new show. Today's episode has been recorded specifically for the Professional Patient Series. These are episodes that will showcase everyday health stories from the patient, caregivers, the medical professionals, advocates, as well as the holistic healers. Now, if you're wondering why such a series exists, it's because I myself was diagnosed with two diseases 4 years ago that a year ago I found out I actually never had. So by using my platform, by using this show, this is the reason why I started this podcast in the first place. I'm able to share the stories of others now. So if this is the type of content that you are searching for, that somebody that you know is searching for, send them on over here and tune into today's episode. And here comes today's guest. So today I'm so excited because I have Amber Malcolm on the show, and she and I met on Facebook, shocker, on the interwebs. And Amber, where did we meet? We met, I think, in a Facebook group, right?
I don't remember either.
On
Facebook somewhere.
I know, somewhere.
A conversation about something, and you know, I don't know. I've slept since then. So.
I know, and so we connected, and I remember the first thing I did. Actually, maybe it was something about podcasting. I don't even know. But so I looked on your profile, and I was very intrigued because I saw that you were an attorney, and then you went through your own health journey, and now you have this business because of that. And then I think that's when I messaged you. I'm like, oh my God, can we have a conversation? Because I am representing myself in six cases, and I now have a business because I went through this crazy health story. And I'm like, please come on my show.
Yes, now I remember. Yes, and I loved connecting. You know, it's hard to find survivors of these things sometimes that are willing to talk about it. And so it was so nice to finally have that connection. Because the disease I had, there's only a 10% chance of survival. So there's not survivors groups for me. There's not really, you know, like, what's the cancer walk and all that. They have their support system, but there's really not one.
Now, can you start off by sharing a little bit of, like, I want to hear your backstory. I want you to share your backstory and then symptoms that you were having and then how you found out your diagnosis. And then I even remember, you guys, before we hit record, we were actually talking a little bit about how timing is just everything. We were supposed to record this months ago. I mean, like 3 or 4 months ago, and then you were busy in a play, and then you had, is relapse the right word? Or you got sick again, right?
Yeah, I got sick again. It wasn't quite a full-blown relapse, but yeah, I had to take about 3 months off in order to prevent a full-blown relapse.
And I'm so glad you're here with us today. So share with us a little bit about your previous career and how you started and kind of came out of this health journey as of right now.
About 10 years ago, I joke I'm a recovering attorney. I was still a practicing attorney back in that day. And I was actually doing really well. I was just kind of bebopping along in life. I think I was about 26, 27 or something like that. So, you know, I just thought I was invincible. My shit did not stink, that's for sure. And I became pregnant with my second child. And it started off as what's called hyperemesis. And I joke that it's bulimia, not to make fun of bulimia, but I just threw up all the time involuntarily. I mean, it didn't matter if it was ice cream or salad or water. I lost 80 pounds during my pregnancy. It was just constant vomiting. And because of that, I had to have PICC lines placed. And for some reason that we've never figured out, my immune system basically just kind of quit working. So the PICC lines would lead to bacterial infections, and then I'd be in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks getting that, you know, taken care of, and then I'd be back out for a few weeks, and then I'd be back in. But the last time I was in, it was actually a fungal infection. Those are much, much more dangerous and serious than the bacterial infections. There's only two antifungal medications, and no one had any idea how safe they were while you were pregnant. It was so scary. And so we decided to go ahead and deliver my daughter 2 months early. She was had a due date of September, and she was born in July. And she's my healthiest child. Spoiler alert, she came out perfect, absolutely perfect. But we went ahead and delivered her because we had no idea if this crossed the placenta. And while the infection was in my body, it took part of the sight in my right eye. I had tumors growing, like basically fungal abscesses growing all over my chest, and it was damaging my heart. And obviously you don't want this happening to an infant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went ahead and delivered her. And then I went on, and it was just months in and out, and nobody could figure out why this kept happening. Nobody could figure out, you know, why my body wouldn't fight this fungus. And so it was almost like a year of medication and doctors and hospitals and all of that. Finally, I just went, I don't think they know. I really don't think they know. I'm just going to start living a healthier lifestyle. So my husband and I bought a small farm and goats and chickens. And I had no idea. There are so many kinds of chickens out there. It's really fascinating.
Oh my God.
And we had all the big fluffy dogs, you know, everything. We had everything. And while I was cleaning my old farmhouse, I would, you know, use the cleaners you buy at your store. And the fumes, the smell would just run me out of the house. And I thought, well, this is stupid. We're supposed to be living healthier. What am I doing spraying these chemicals? And I got to researching, and I was just flabbergasted because there's no regulations on cleaning products.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the cleaners that, I'm sure if you keep them under your sink, that's where all my cleaners used to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under your sink, almost every, we know that almost every cleaner on the market has known carcinogens. And so it's really scary because you're breathing this, you're putting this on your skin, you're washing your clothes with it. And I thought, man, I wonder if any of this contributed to my illness. And you never know. And nobody, of course, will really ever give you any definitive answer. But I could tell you that since I started making those products, like you said, I had a almost relapse last fall. But other than that, I have been very healthy and able to work and grow my business like crazy.
That's incredible. Now, when you said PICC lines, you said plural. So you had more than one at one time?
No, not at the same time.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, remove it. Once I got the infection, and then once the infection was cleared up, they'd place another one. I had three, but they were consecutive.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that. So for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with what a PICC line is, it's for those of us that have invisible veins or veins that are very difficult to get to, and we need to get an IV placed. So a PICC line, I actually had that procedure when I was in the hospital for my first stay. That was 9 beautiful days. And I was on so many IV steroids at that time that they couldn't get the PICC line to go through. And here's a funny story. I had 10 med students watching. The doctor, the PICC line nurse came in, and he's like, do you mind if I have some med students watch? They're doing the rotations. I'm like, sure. And my anxiety medicine never came. I was freaking out that I was going to be awake for that because it's pretty painful. And
it's not comfortable, and they strap you down.
Yeah, they put the foam under the neck, and it's like such a process. And like, if you're already like locked up in a hospital, like the last thing you want to do, you know, like it's just another added stress. So they give you anxiety medicine. Mine never came on time. It never kicked in. So I was just living my best life, like all strapped down with 10 med students watching. 2.5 hours later, they gave up. It wouldn't go through. And so that's why I got a port. So I got a metal port for my chemo treatments because they were like, no, like you have to have a port. There's no way we can give you this drug if we don't have a way to get it to you. Because when I was in the hospital for 9 days, I had 14 IVs, 14. Uh-huh. It was nuts. And for us that like, that's like kind of common, like we're just like, yeah, I'd pick lines and this and that. Like,
that's about right.
It's just like our normal way of speaking, and somebody else that hasn't gone through what we've gone through, they're like, what the hell are you even talking about? Like, that's so serious. And when you were talking about your firstborn, when I had an endoscopy a couple weeks ago, you can hear everybody's conversation. You're waiting to get drugged before you go in for the procedure. And the girl next to me was talking about her micro preemie, who was born at 1 pound, 16 ounce, something insane. Like, she had her, I think, 4 or 5 months. And she's like the healthiest of all of her children. So it's just incredible, like, how medicine, you know, just like the time that we live in right now, like what medicine and like eating healthy and just like everything combined, like, it's just crazy how miracles can happen. It's just, I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah, it's always amazing.
I too am switching over to a lot more of a natural product line. Some things I haven't yet, I will admit. Like, I'm still using like a bleach kind of spray for my tub, but I am getting like soy candles. I have my oils. You know, it's really hard to transition and expensive too, but if you do it in baby steps, I feel like it really is like the best, in my opinion, like, way to go. Cause it's very overwhelming, especially when you're coming out of, you know, something health related, either you or somebody in your family, you're trying to, you know, change everything at once. And then it's like so stressful because it's like an overload, you know?
Overload. Yep. Exactly. Well, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, greener or cleaner products get a bad rap because I think over the past 20 or 30 years, the green products or the cleaner products were sometimes less effective, or they just weren't as good as the real deal and stuff. Now, I think that's definitely changed probably in the past 5 years or so. But yeah, it was like, okay, I want a better product. But then all the quote unquote cleaner products were the crap. They just didn't work. And so, yeah, it can be overwhelming to even know where to start.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, going back to your story, when you started going through your health journey, how many doctors did you see? Like, were you in a situation where you had to get second opinions, third opinions, or you were in a position where they didn't know what the hell to do? So they all had to like kind of come together and figure it out because it was so rare.
Well, yeah.
Or both.
When I was in the hospital, I got opinion after opinion, but you know, it was the doctor saying, hey, I don't know what's wrong. Let me call this other doctor. I got to tell you this, and to all the women listening, I want you to scream into your listening device right now. I had one doctor tell me it's just because my boobs were so big. That's all my problems.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, I've lost 80 pounds in 3 months. I'm pretty sure it's not the boobs.
That's insane. I seriously can't believe the shit that comes out of their mouth sometimes.
Sometimes it's like, how did you pass med school, man?
I know. I don't even understand. And now, like, dealing with the legal aspect, one of them called me on my cell phone. I was like, you do realize we're, like, in a legal battle right now, right? Begging me not to go after him. He has children at home. Like, that's not my problem. But, yeah, it's just...
This was my life.
Yeah, you ruined it.
And but, so, I felt like the care I got was okay. But, yeah, there was a whole lot of, wow, we've never seen that before. You don't know what to do now.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing.
But they did work in tandem, you know, I was so sick, though. I was in the hospital, so they all kind of came to me. And then when they couldn't care for me, they'd send me to more advanced hospitals.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I'm sorry you went through that, but here you are feeling so much better. And this is why I love bringing people on, especially for the professional patient series, because rare stories need to be talked about even more. There are so many things. Let's just take Facebook, for example. How many times in a week do you see somebody post something medical related and you're like, oh my God, and you just shake your head, right? Like, they're about to go down the path I went down, even though it's a completely different situation. So I feel like as somebody that's, you know, we've gone through it, it's our job, however we feel comfortable, to share, to just put it out there and just help other people so that at least maybe relieve some anxiety or something, because
absolutely, and it's life-changing. It is absolutely life-changing to go through something. I mean, it changes who you are, it changes what you like, it changes what's important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is life-changing to go through something like that. So, yes, I absolutely believe it's important that those people, you know, reach out, let you know you're not alone, because like you said, when you're in a hospital bed, I don't know what prison's like, but I wonder. And it's not much worse, because there were so many times I felt like I was literally chained to the bed, even though it was machines and IVs and all that. It was just, there was no moving on with my life. I was stuck.
It's So funny that you said prison, because I, like, we were mentioning, having a conversation earlier before we hit record about us being on, well, myself being on lockdown. I'm on day 15, I think. And I recently have been recording a lot of episodes about PTSD and trauma. And this morning, it's so funny because when you were just saying that, I literally visualized myself like dreaming of the ocean again. I was in Las Vegas when all this happened to me. And I would be dreaming of like, I just want to go to the ocean. I just want to go to the beach. As soon as I got discharged the next week, once I was feeling better, I came here to San Diego, and then 2 years later, I ended up moving back. So I've been here almost 2 years, and now I feel the same because the beaches just got shut down. So I can't even go to the damn beach for my sanity. So I'm only allowed to go outside and like do a lap around the neighborhood, keeping my 6 feet distance, and come home. That's it. So it's crazy when you go through something. Like, do you ever have like any anxiety or depression or like PTSD, like anything that triggers you just from going through a journey like that?
Oh, tons of things. Oh, yeah. This is a funny one and ironic, but hospital hand sanitizer, that smell will take me back to that torturous time in an absolute instant. It is shocking to me. I completely forget. I've moved on with my life, and then I'll get a whiff of that smell at the doctor's office or something, and man, it'll just take me right back.
That's
interesting.
I feel like that smell. So my friend was admitted for an infection a couple months ago. And I was there all 7 days she was there. And they had so much sanitizer. This is before anything coronavirus even was in the news. Right. The smell of their sanitizer, I feel like, was the strongest ever I've smelled. And it smells like morphine to me. And it smells like... do you remember when they would have to like flush your PICC line to make sure it like works properly? That taste of the saline would taste like morphine to me, a morphine drip. I specifically remember this like very alcohol pungent. I completely agree with you because your mind, you're just like, oh my God. And even now, because I'm using so much sanitizer and alcohol to like wash my hands and everything, I'm thinking of, I still have my port. I still have like, and I'm like, what is going on? It's so crazy. Oh my goodness. Yeah, just certain things.
What the most shocking thing to me was once I was better, and really better. I mean, mm-hmm. I had healing to do, but there was no fear of death or anything like that. It was like accepting that I was going to live.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I got to go get a haircut because, you know, I was pretty shaggy after a year in and out of the hospital. And she goes, hey, would you like to make an appointment in 6 weeks? And it just blew my mind. I'm like, how can I make an appointment? I don't know if I'll be alive in 6 weeks. And I went, I can plan my life. I can do what I want. And it was so different because for like a year, I was either in the hospital or in bed, and there was no traveling. There was no work. There was no absolutely nothing. And so it was such a shock to start replanning my life again. Like, I can make an appointment in 6 weeks and know that I'm going to live for it. It was weird. I very happy and blessed, but it was shocking, and I was surprised at how hard it was to adjust to life again.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And honestly, half the time, just from being on so many prescription meds and chemo, my memory is shot. So I always have my list. I always have, and you know that app called Time Hop, and it tells you all your social media reminders from like years past. That's when I remember something. I worked through a lot of that because I was going to lose my mind. You know, I was stuck in bed half the time, and I had clients, thank God. And I was just doing like their website and social media and coaching them on LinkedIn. And they were all so supportive. And I'm like, I'm curled up in a ball. Like, I can barely even text you. They're like, it's fine. Like, you're good. But I don't remember that until I see notifications show up on my phone. Like, I just blacked out so much of that.
And luckily, I'm 10 years out. And so it's amazing how much you do forget after 10 years. You know, you're like, wow, you know, I'll forget the names of certain procedures. And I actually feel really blessed. But it's been so far that like, wow, I don't even remember. That's awesome.
Oh my God. So, now, were you on a lot of...
I had an Excel spreadsheet to remember what medicines to take IV, what medicines to take oral, what, you know, I've literally had to print out an Excel spreadsheet. Otherwise, there was no way to keep track of.
That was your attorney. I didn't have an Excel spreadsheet, but I did have it on my computer, my notebook, my purse. I had a medical ID. My closest friends knew where to find everything because then I had to do my will and then like all that traumatic stuff. So yeah, you definitely have to, I preach this all the time. Like you have to be organized with your records. It's up to you to be organized with your medical records because God forbid something happens. And what happened to me one day, it's so crazy. Yes. Yes. And I was in the freezer aisle at a supermarket and the lights reflecting, I had a dizzy spell and I almost passed out, but it made me dizzy. But I thought this was the day I was going to go blind. This is the day. And I'm stuck in the freezer aisle and I'm like, oh my God. And that day I went online and I designed my beautiful medical ID tag. And I knew that I needed to get my shit together. And that from that moment, and still when I go in the freezer aisle, I like always remember that. And then I'm just like, stop for a minute and I breathe and I'm like, I am so lucky. I'm so grateful. I can't believe I can just like skim by this damn aisle now and go get my frozen veggies or whatever. And not like think I'm gonna die.
We reflect on a lot of that stuff. Like, you know, we have the kids and we take them on vacation.
Yeah.
And for years, we didn't go anywhere unless we knew where the hospital or the emergency room was.
Yeah, you have to plan.
Because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fascinating because when you don't do that anymore, you don't notice you don't do it anymore. You just all of a sudden one day you're like, hey, I don't even think I've had to go to the hospital for like 3 years. I can't remember. This is amazing.
I love that you just said that because going back to the endoscopy I just got, I was freaking out because I'm like, when was the last time I had a procedure? And I had a friend come all the way from Santa Monica, who's the cousin of my best friend who was with me throughout all my chemo stuff, because she's very strong and I needed a strong will. I was freaking out because I realized I didn't have my port anymore. And this was the first procedure I had without my port. I'm like, they're never going to find a vein. I'm going to be wide awake. I'm going to feel the camera down my throat. I was freaking out. And I didn't realize till the day before that this was the first time I'm getting a procedure without my port. And that's what like triggered me. And I was like a hot mess express. But then after I was like high as a kite and laughing hysterically, like everything was fine and dandy after that. But yeah. Same thing with you.
It's such a healing process, both physically and mentally, with facing death like that.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously ill. That nobody really seems to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's like, it really changes who you are and how you look at the world.
It really does. Have you ever done EMDR therapy?
I have not. I actually did ketamine infusions, and that was the best thing ever.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Maybe this is how we connected. So I had a guest on Tamara, and she's an anesthetist in Texas, and she runs a clinic. She has her own clinic now, ketamine clinic.
That I'm telling you, like, you know, after all this, I always struggled a little bit with the depression and PTSD.
Yeah.
I hated it. I hated that side of me. I hated that it existed, but it's there. And so I tried all the different antidepressants and everything. And I finally just broke down and went and had the ketamine. And I'm telling you, just do it. Just do it. It's hands down the best thing I ever did.
And you know what? And it's so funny that you're saying that. And I was not fully aware of what it was. And when I had her on the show last year, I mean, she's been a nurse for years. She worked in the OR for years. And she's just like, I see this as such an opportunity to help so many patients. So she ended up just opening her own clinic and she's helping, you know, hundreds and thousands maybe now with ketamine. Yeah, and I was just so unfamiliar with it until after. Now, were you on a lot of prescription medication that you had to get weaned off of, like I was at once?
And the majority of it I was off, except for kind of damage control medicine.
Yeah.
They had me on a massive dose of Neurontin from all the nerve damage I had from the antibiotics.
Oh, yeah.
And then antidepressants and stuff like that. And so I actually did the ketamine before I weaned off of those.
Oh, my God. That was probably the smartest thing you could have ever done.
Yeah, because it was still rough coming off of it even after the ketamine, but I wanted off everything. I wanted off everything.
Me too. And I remember meeting with my primary, my psychologist, my psychiatrist, because they were in charge of like lowering all the doses, getting me off. And I was on 12. So I was doing 12 at once. I couldn't take it. I was like a crazy person. Like I had migraines. I had to be in like a dark room for 4 or 5 days. I mean, it was a freaking nightmare. And now looking back, it's kind of just like a blur. But I remember at that time, it's just, I remember reading articles because, you know, you're always looking at the next patient, like doing research. And the documentary Heal had just come out. And I remember hearing this woman say she was on the same med I was on. It took her a year and a half to get off it. I was like, oh, hell no. So from that moment, I cut my doses in half. And then I took myself off everything in like 2.5 weeks. And it was supposed to be a lot longer. But at that point, if you're somebody and, you know, I'm not a doctor, but this is just my personal journey I'm sharing. And I was over it. And I'm like, I'm not going to die. There's no way I can die now. You know, I just wanted the shit out of my system.
I'm more invincible now than I was at 18.
Yeah. And I'm like,
if the good Lord hasn't killed me by now, he ain't gonna.
Yeah. But like in our minds, like as a patient, it's kind of like common sense where you're thinking, okay, if I have a month to take this pill, like, why wouldn't I just like double it and take half? You know, like if it were okay to do something like that, like you're going to pay for it with withdrawals, but like, wouldn't you rather have less time for that shit going in your system anymore? Like, that's how I feel. So that's what I did. And that definitely wasn't maybe the smartest I can say now because I suffered hardcore from that. But it's not a year later. I'm not still taking 5 milligrams of some pill and continuously putting it in my system. I'm trying to flush all that shit out now, like a year later, 3 years later, 4 years later, it's still in my system. Like there's only so much you can do to like get it out, you know, you just gotta wait.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, you know, I was raised that you just do what the doctor says. If the doctor gives you pills, you take the pills.
Yep.
And doctors are the end all, know all. And now that I'll call myself a grown up, although adulting is not my favorite thing. I realize for every pill you take, you may get some good reactions, but you're also going to get some bad. And so to me, I only resort to medicine when it's just like I cannot find a way to deal with something on my own and for very small, because our bodies will heal on their own.
Yep.
Now, our bodies will correct themselves on their own. Now, obviously, cancer and things like that, that's not true. But if we're just patient and kind to our bodies, they are amazing machines, and the doctors just don't always know everything. And I always felt like they really, really downplayed side effects. I'm like, hey, like I'm drooling on myself and I can't remember my name. Oh yeah, it might slow you down for a little. No, my IQ has dropped 80 points. I can't spell. What is wrong with me? Oh, well, that's the medicine. You know, I've had some crazy side effects from medicines before, and I felt like the doctors never really truly warned me how much it would impact my life. And so I just, like I said, if I get an infection, I will go get an antibiotic, hands down. But outside of that, I really shy away from anything unless it's really serious.
Yeah, it's, I'm in the same boat with you. And I 100% agree with the side effects. Nobody says anything. So 2 years ago, no, it was like a year and a half ago, I went to the dentist. I had all my insurance switched over here. I'm in a new state. And she says, Kelly, you have dry mouth. I'm like, what the hell is that? And she's like, you have no saliva. And I was like, what? And she's like, did you know this? Like, can't you tell? And I was like, no, like, I don't even know what that means. And she's like, because you were on all these drugs, you no longer produce saliva. I'm like, what? So she gave me this like $50 toothpaste and mouthwash. I had to use it every single day to like give me saliva back. And that was a side effect from one of these drugs.
I had that same one. I remember having to buy all the expensive mouth lozenges and toothpaste. And
yeah, I had no idea. And then
I was like, maybe I just don't take the medicine.
And then this is the best part of the story. Then I woke up. I mean, well, mentally woke up because I was recording a podcast one day and I couldn't stop spitting. And I was talking into the mic like I wasn't recording with a guest. It was just me. And I could not stop spitting and drooling. And I was like, oh, my God, I think I overdosed on the mouthwash or something. And then it was like a wake up call. I'm like, holy shit, I have saliva. That's the highlight of my life, you know, like stupid stuff like that. You're like, oh my God, wow, it's back.
Well, see, and my biggest concern was if they're not telling me about the little side effects that are annoying throughout the day or whatever, what are they not telling me? Like I found out, you know, for a while, I think the Xanax or what are the benzodiazepines they use for anxiety. We know those cause dementia.
Oh,
no one ever told me that. Now, I don't know that I wouldn't have taken them. You know, back then it was a matter more of life and death than maybe things are right now. But it's like, I wish somebody would have at least told me so I could have made that choice.
Yeah, I agree. Nobody tells you anything about the drugs. And honestly, I don't really think that they know because it's not their job. They know what it's for, but they're not going to school to learn the drug. I've learned more from CVS pharmacists than doctors about drugs.
Wow. You know, that's probably my biggest pro tip after all of this is go find a good local pharmacist.
Yep.
Not you know, because my pharmacist has probably saved my doctors from killing me a million times.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they don't cross-check meds. Even if you tell them, look, I'm taking this, this, and this, they'll prescribe you something. And if your pharmacist doesn't catch it, go, hey, you can't mix these. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to go home and mix it. And so that's one of my biggest pro tips. Is, find somebody that knows and cares about you as a pharmacist because they can save your bacon. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And that's happened to me so many times as well. And I'm just like so grateful. And you know, half the time it's like a young kid and they catch it because that's what they're going to school for. So it's like constantly on their mind, you know?
Yeah.
Now talk to us about all of your products and the company that you have now and the craziness you're experiencing at this very moment due to coronavirus.
So we bought the farm. I'll finish up my story where we went off. We bought the farm and I started making these cleaners. And my husband would say, you need to sell these. And I said, I have a doctorate degree. I am not going to be that creepy guy going door to door going, hey, I got a cleaner you want to buy.
It
took him weeks to convince me to start selling the cleaners. But we were already going to the farmer's market every Sunday to sell our eggs and produce and peaches and things like that. So I thought, okay, all right, I'll make a few bottles just to see if anybody will even buy them. Now, you got to remember, I was a lawyer. I was not in manufacturing. I was not in baking. I wasn't an idiot. This was not my forte at all. So I was, you know, dollar store bottles and homemade labels. I can't believe anybody even bought from me. But after a few weeks, I was actually selling more cleaning products than produce. And so I thought, well, maybe we should give it a go. And eventually we started selling out and went to shows. And within 2 years, I was on the Home Shopping Network. I've actually been on twice. And it just took off because when I invented these products, I had two rules. It had to be 100% natural, completely safe, and it had to work better than what I was already using. And I hate cleaning. This is the ironic thing people don't. They think, oh, you make cleaning products. You must be the neatest person. No. It's called shabby chick because I'm a hot mess and I hate cleaning. I absolutely hate cleaning.
Oh, my God. I love cleaning.
So I want my cleaners to do all the work. You know, the kind you just spray and they do it.
Yeah. That's even better, though, for a product.
Grease at my house. And so so that was it. It's eventually, it started with just the cleaner. And then my husband started having allergic reactions to every laundry soap I tried to buy. So eventually I learned you could even make laundry soap. At first somebody told me that and I thought, no, you can't make laundry soap. That grows in stores. But it turns out you can actually make it. And I started to, and again, it started selling. And now I have a whole entire product line. And the philosophy behind every product is that it outperforms the one I thought was the best, you know, like, and so, of course, I have a hand sanitizer, and so I am the most popular lady in town right now. I can tell you that I have not worked this hard since I started my company 4.5 years ago as I have.
Oh, my God. And now you're bringing it full circle, helping everybody else. Now, only if you had some toilet paper, some rice, some beans.
We actually thought about starting to sell more earth-friendly products to go along with the cleaning products, like, you know, toilet paper and stuff like that. But I didn't want to get into it. So I thought it was going to be too much a hassle. And girl, I regret that every day.
Oh my God. You would have had a new house built by next year with the toilet paper trends. It's absolutely insane.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm happy with the hand sanitizer trend because I know that we're putting out a quality product that's going to protect people. And our cleaners are just some of the most amazing on the market. We've had all kinds of testing and clinical testing done on them. And we outperform leading brands. So that was always nice when we'd get the testing back to go, I did it.
That's so amazing.
And one of the big things, especially if you're suffering with any kind of disease, really almost anything, is dyes and fragrances can be the most harsh on your skin and your lungs and everything. And so we absolutely never, ever, ever use any dyes or fragrances. We only use essential oils in our product.
That's so good to know. And a lot of people always do ask that. Now, where can everybody find you on the internet? Where can they buy their sanitizer? Because I'm pretty sure everybody's out at this point.
Everybody needs it. And we have it in stock. And right now we are actually shipping the same day, Monday through Friday. And we are Shabby Chick Cleaners. That's Chick, C-H-I-C-K, not chic. Shabby Chick Cleaners, and that's plural.com. And then, obviously, we have a Facebook and Instagram store, and those are at Shabby Chick Cleaners.
Perfect. And you guys, all of this will be in the show notes, so it's just a simple click away. You can stock your family up on some good-for-you products. Amber, thank you so much for being on today's show. You have no idea how much
thank
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, sharing your story.
I love what you're doing, and I think you're helping so many people, and I just think it's amazing.
Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you get back to work, because I know you are so crazy busy right now, so I'm glad this all worked out.
I am.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you carving out a little piece of your day to listen to today's episode. If you liked this one, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. Listening on Apple Podcasts? I would love it if you would leave me a review on today's show. Your input means so much and also helps me create more of the content you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? You can join us in the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Simply answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself and to get the latest in business, LinkedIn, organizing, and podcasting news, sign up to receive my weekly newsletter at thehappyworkaholic.com. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.